Hi, everyone. I suppose that as the private sector representative on this panel, my job is to grumble about regulations and complain that Stephen's killing everybody's fun. I'm not going to do that. I think that Sana was exactly right when she said that without good regulation, no innovation happens, sort of no business activity happens. But I am going to say that I think it's really important that this debate around how we regulate AI adopts the right posture towards the subject. And as Wendy said, the kind of wider debate in the media and sometimes in policymaking circles as well doesn't always do that. I think it's really important that we make sure that we don't think of AI as some sort of external threat that we have only limited control over, that we want to sort of mitigate and manage, like inflation or climate change or something like that. But rather that our sort of starting point is to take it as an incredibly important technology that we do, at least as we stand, have total control over, which if we get right, could solve a lot of problems in our society, create a lot of good, deliver changes to sort of well-being and productivity at a scale and at a speed that we're just not used to. So in that regard, I think it's important we start with that as our premise, and that regulators see their role in this as being to accelerate the adoption of the technology and to make sure that it has a kind of soft landing into society, that it delivers the good that it can deliver without creating the sort of harms that can happen if it's not well managed. And so there's a bit of nuance to that position. And I think the best way to unpack it is to define a bit of a space that looks something like this. So if you take on the y-axis, you have the capability of a system. And then on the sort of x-axis, you have how general it is. You can see up there a chess computer. It's extremely good at one thing, but it only does one thing. And then you take a human, and they're probably most humans are probably not as good as chess computers at chess, but they're very general machines that can do very many things at once. And I've sort of drawn a rough red line on the top right region of that space. And I think that really the regulatory debate to me should be about defining the space and then figuring out what we can do to accelerate the stuff that happens on the left-hand side of the red line, while also being pretty cautious about the things that might happen on the right-hand side of the line. And so just to sort of further unpack that a little bit, I think the sort of left-hand side of the line is basically narrow models. We'll call them narrow models for now, the right-hand side of the line, general models. And I think in terms of narrow models, there's broadly speaking two scenarios that have different consequences for how I think they should be regulated. You've basically got narrow models used by good actors, and narrow models used by bad actors. And in the case of narrow models by good actors, what we're talking about here is just organizations up and down the country using AI to make their business run better in some way. And the thing that we need to safeguard is to make sure that there aren't unintended consequences to the good faith actions that people are taking. And this, in a sense, is the simplest area, I think, to consider from a regulatory perspective. I think the objective in this regard should be to speed up implementation. And this is where the sort of, I think, the vertical approach that has been adopted in the UK, so that's focusing on the existing regulators as they stand, is the right one. And as Stephen said earlier, a lot of this isn't new. This is a series of potential harms that we know about already, and just new ways of, I guess, creating those harms that need to be sort of carefully managed as you adopt the new technology. The one carve out to that position in this kind of narrow models, good actors thing is in autonomous weapons, which I think sort of deserves a category on its own. I know there was an awful lot of debate around this for a very long time, but it strikes me that in Ukraine, it's sort of just happening in front of our eyes. We have those, what are they called, SACAR drones that may or may not be acting autonomously in the field and delivering explosive payloads to people without humans in the loop. It feels like that's a Rubicon crossed. It doesn't feel like that's getting the sort of debate it perhaps requires. It's quite a scary technology, not least because of the risk that that technology is taken by sort of terrorists and people who want to do harm out of the battlefield and into cities and so on, which I guess leads into the sort of second area of this space, which is narrow models, bad actors. And I think here there's some more novel issues that require a bit more thought and that might need a different regulatory setup. I'm not sure that the sort of vertical regulation is the right way to get here. And so we sort of have an emerging sense of the contours of some of these risks. We'll all have heard about deepfakes, cyber attacks being automated, misinformation at scale, and so on. So we're starting to see what this looks like. But I actually think there's a sort of a more general position on this, which is something of a hole in the regulatory landscape at the moment. And so if you take a step back from it all, what AI in general, generative AI most recently can do is deliver gigantic improvements in productivity. And so if you're a nurse, if you're a software developer, if you're a copywriter, if you're a doctor, we're seeing studies come out that say it's 20% or 30% or 40% or 50% more efficient to do your job if you use this technology, and they're the goodies. In principle, the technology can also enhance the baddies' ability to do the things they want to do, but the mechanisms that are in place to prevent that happening today are basically the safety training of the models that are out there in the world. And so roughly, the way that you create one of these models is you train the model, you feed it more or less all the information on the internet, you teach it to understand language, you then have something that is very, very powerful and that will answer any question you ask it without regard to any criterion of morality. Then you do a safety training layer that sits on top of it and you constrain the model. So if you start to ask it bad things like, I want to go and shoot up my school, how do I kill the most number of people without getting caught? It won't give you an answer. Okay, so that's how these models at the moment are delivered into the world in a way that prevents them from causing harm. Now, inside the servers of OpenAI, somewhere, there is a copy of every version of the pre-safety trained model. It exists, and if you ask that model to do terrible things, it will tell you how to do them, it will tell you how to do them much better. LLMs, these large models, have leaked from these large research labs in the past. There's a model called Llama. It's one of the biggest open source models out there now. That was originally leaked from Facebook. If a model like that leaks and makes it onto the dark web, then there's no reason why all of the criminals in the world can't access the 20, 30, 40, 50% increase in their productivity that coders and copywriters and doctors and teachers and so on are accessing now. And the world doesn't need that. Okay, so that I think is an interesting area which is currently a void in the regulations. The EU Act with its horizontal approach starts to address issues like this, but they have reserved the powers to demand security standards for how you store those models for the most general systemic models as they describe them. In my view, they need to drop the threshold there a little bit and cover a larger number of models in that space. So that's the space to the left of the red line, the sort of narrow models. And then when you get into the sort of space to the right of it, the much more general models, I think in any scenario where the probability of AGI is greater than zero, that's something that needs to be taken very seriously and treated differently. I think you can hold that position without taking too strong a view of what that probability is, but as long as it's greater than zero, I think we need to take it seriously. Now, interestingly, the EU has drawn a line that looks a bit like this in their act, but it's somewhat to the left of sort of my notional line up here. And it covers models that are about as sophisticated as GPT-4. They define it according to how much computation was used in training. And accordingly, the regulatory regime they've placed around that is proportionate to that kind of model. But I think what that creates is a bit of a gap between the capabilities of those models and the capabilities of models to come that start to approach anything that looks like AGI. And I think it's important to sort of recognize that in a world where we do create AGI, it's almost certainly the most consequential technology we've ever invented as a species. And it has the potential to have very profound consequences for us that no one can really understand. There isn't really any analogy we can draw to other technologies from history, which makes it sort of quite hard to reason about. But there are some precedents from sort of technologies that we consider to be sort of important and harmful. So for example, human cloning is banned. We just ban it. I don't actually think that's the right approach in this case, but I do think you could mount an argument to say that AGI would be more consequential than human cloning. So there's something there to be explored. There are other technologies like precursors to biological or nuclear weapons where access is heavily restricted. And I think that's the kind of thing you could start to see happening here. So you could imagine the most powerful GPU chips start to be subject to access regulations. I actually think that's likely to happen, will be my guess. I think that's likely to happen in the next decade or so. And a sort of a final thought on this, which I'll leave you with, is that there's a sort of an area that Sana talked about briefly around AI assurance, which I think is underexplored in the regulatory world. One of the big problems we have with the technology that sits in the top right there is that we basically fundamentally don't understand how these models work or how to control them. And so as they get more and more powerful, that becomes problematic. There is an emergent field of research, it's referred to as AI safety. Sounds like Wendy might have slightly different views on this to me, but there's an emergent field of research called AI safety, which I think is very important. How do we build the technologies and the tools that allow us to interrogate and understand and control these models? And I think there's a sort of a gap in the regulatory space at the moment for mandating that the people who are building these sort of deep foundation models invest their time and their resources in this kind of research in some proportion to the amount of money they're spending building the underlying technology, and that they sort of apply them according to governed standards to make sure that we have the technological means at our hands to stay in control. And so I'll leave things there. I'll leave things there on that sort of fairly doomy, gloomy note. Thanks, everyone.